Tonight, if you will, I want us to open our Bibles to Psalm 130. Psalm 130. I want to read these 8 verses, Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. I want to ask the question tonight, and I want to answer that question in these verses. Who is it who in this world has hope? Who in this world has hope? The fact is, many people have a false hope. Many, many people in this world have a false hope. And even we who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who have heard his word, heard his gospel. At one time, the Apostle Paul says, this was our condition in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. He says, at that time, 2:12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, no hope, and without God in the world. Who are the people who have hope? And I want us to look at these verses and see if this is answered in this text. First of all, I want us to see, you see in verse 7, it says, let Israel hope in the Lord. Our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He is our hope. But the people who have hope, first of all, and I'm going to have, I think, 8 points, and I'll try to go through them quick. I know everybody is tired, but I trust the Lord visits with us and speaks to us in his word, and I know you'll be comforted. That's what the Lord does to his people. He comforts us with his word. The first thing I want to notice here of the people that have hope, first, are true sinners. True sinners have hope. You see, it says there, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. David saying, out of the depths. When a person is in this condition, the depths, that means there is no soundness in me. So long as a person believes that he has something with which to commend him to God, that person has no hope. The scriptures talk about the man that comes before the priest and he has a condition of leprosy. Do you remember? He comes before the priest, and if he has a little spot of leprosy, the priest is to look upon him and say, unclean. You're cast out. If the man has all leprosy but a little bit of good, a little bit of good skin, he's still unclean. But when that man is covered from the head to the foot, and there is no soundness in him, when all he is putrefying sores, there's nothing that could commend you to God in yourself. That's a true sinner. It's not so much what you do, what I do, it's who I am. I am a sinner. This is not just an agreement that says, well, you know I've sinned. Everybody sins. But this is Holy Spirit wrought conviction in the heart. All I am is sinner, a sin. Sinner by birth, sinner by practice, and sinner by choice. I don't blame anybody else for my sin. I am the sinner. This is justification. A sinner justifies God when God condemns him. What you say of me is true. Do you remember that Syrophoenician woman when the Lord said, I've not sent but to the lost house of the children of the lost house of I'm not sent to dogs. It's not right to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. She didn't get offended by that. You cannot offend a true sinner by calling him a sinner. My dad has a dog, and that dog doesn't know he's a dog, but I tell him he's a dog. I tell him, you're just a dog. And you know what? That dog has never been offended by me calling him a dog. I can't offend that. I could tell him any way I want to. You're a dog. And he's not offended. I don't care if I tell it to him soft or tell. I could yell it to him. He's a dog. And that's the way a sinner knows he. And this is a Holy Spirit conviction of who I am before. Out of the depths, there's no sound. Oh God, there's no soundness in me. Look at what Psalm chapter 40, the psalmist says this. And what is really amazing is this is what our Lord said when he was made sin for us. But this is what we are made to understand and see of ourselves. This is who we are. Psalm chapter 40. It said, verse 12, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. There's no soundness in me. Out of the depths, the psalmist said, I cried unto thee. Notice, it's only a person that is lost that seeks a Savior. Out of the depths. A sinner, someone said, is a sacred thing, a holy thing. The Holy Spirit made him so. The Holy Spirit revealed who he was. Do you know who the Lord Jesus Christ came to save? Sinners. True sinners. He didn't come to save those who say, well, I've got a little problem with sin. He came to save true sinners. He did not come to save his people's finances, his people's jobs, or his family, or marriages. He came to save sinners from their sin. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The psalmist said here, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Depths. This is not a superficial. This is not a superficial thing. Depths. Depths of pride. Depths of self-righteousness. Depths of unbelief. Have you ever tried to not just believe? What did that man say? Oh Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Do you know how unbelief is sin? And even when you would do good, evil is with you. You cannot, our faith, though the Lord Jesus Christ gives us faith, and by that faith we believe, our faith is full of holes. Our faith is like It's like what do you call those, colanders? It's like a colander. Water just go through it. At the same time that we believe, we have doubts and fears, anxiety. What's that? That's just another name for unbelief. Unbelief. Well, these ones who have hope are those who know they are sinners. The Apostle Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Of whom I'm chief. That's the first thing. God does not hear a man just has a light problem with sin. a life problem is, I'm a sinner and I have no hope. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. You see, when a man cries out of the depths, the Lord hears his cry. When the man cries, can you see blind Bartimaeus? Think of this example we have in the scripture. Blind Bartimaeus, he's in the depths of his darkness and his blindness. He'd been there all his life, blind from birth. And he heard, there's a man, his name is Jesus. He's the Christ. And everywhere he goes, he's saving, he's healing people. He's healing people. And he hears the commotion going on and he says, what's going on? And they say, it's Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. He didn't say, well, if I could just see him, I think I'd call on him. No, out of the depths of his blindness, he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, the Christ, the one that was sent, have mercy on me. You have the power. Have mercy on me. Out of the depths. The people tried to make him quiet, but he cried the louder. Can you see that man dying on the cross? That one thief? That's all he could do was die. That's all he could do was die. He said, we're here because we rightly deserve to be here. But this man hath done no evil. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's depths. Depths. At the point of walking in, going into eternity, there's no hope for him if Christ doesn't hear his call. But the Lord saves sinners. Those who are true sinners. That's who has hope. Those who are in depths of sin. Not a shallow thing. Not a shallow thing. And number two, those who have hope are those who call on the name of the Lord. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. It's those who call on the Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. This cry must be to the one who can save. This cry, when the Holy Spirit convicts a man of sin, he convicts him also. He convicts him also of righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit is not convicting everybody in the world of sin. He's convicting the same one he convicts of sin because they have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, I can't believe unless you give me faith. It's the same one that convicts them of the justice and the judgment that's in Christ Jesus because he put away the sins of his people. This cry is to the one who can save. Oh Lord, Jehovah. It's there in capital words. L-O-R-D. Jehovah. Jehovah is the one who saves. Salvation is of the Lord. Our Lord said this in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 20. They have no knowledge. They have no knowledge who set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. If a man is going to have hope, he's going to have to call on the one who has power to save. He's going to have to call on the one who has the right to save. Our Lord said to these men one time, they brought this bed in with this man on the bed. And the Lord said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And these self-righteous religionists, they thought, ooh, he's blaspheming. No man can forgive sins but God only. They thought this in their mind. They didn't say it out loud. They just thought it. And him being God, the Lord Jesus Christ being God manifest in the flesh, said unto them, what's harder to say? What's easier to say? Is it easier to say, take up your bed and walk, or your sins are forgiven you? Well, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven you. Look at all these priests around that are doing it. they go on and they say, oh, I've done this, that, and the other. They say, well, you know, you repeat this and that and say so many Hail Marys and so many of the Father, and your sins are forgiven you. That's easy to say, but it doesn't go away. The only one that has the right to forgive sins is the one to whom sin is committed. And only by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only because in Christ God can be just and justify the ungodly. Only that way. But our Lord said to these men, he said, what's easier? He said, well, for you to know. So you know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins on the earth. He said, I say to you, take up your bed and walk. And the man walked up and leaped up, take his bed and walked out. My English is getting bad, I can tell. But you know what I'm saying? Lord, the one who has the authority. Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. He has the authority. All power, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. All authority. Jehovah, Lord, is the name of God and His covenant mercies. The God of promise. Do you believe that Jesus Christ has all authority, all power to save you? Then that's who you'll call upon. There's no sense calling on somebody who doesn't have power to save. But you know, that's what religion says today. Religion all over the world. God has done all He can. And now, if you just let Him, He'll save you. What a blasphemy. What a lie. What a false hope. There is no hope in that one. They have no knowledge. They're praying to a God that cannot save. Doesn't have the authority. Doesn't have the power. Notice, those who have hope are those who are sinners. And those who have hope are those who call on the name of the Lord. Unto Thee, O Lord. Out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. Not to the church. The church can't save you. Not to a man, a preacher, a pope, pastor, evangelist. Not to the Virgin Mary. There's no salvation in any other name. There's only salvation in that one name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not salvation, not a doctrine or creed. The person. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I cry. I don't want to hear somebody's sins. Take it to the Lord. I've got enough of my own. Keep your trash. I'm sorry. That's just true. I had a man come the other day want to tell me what he did. And you know what he said? He said he was torn up. I'm not going to tell you what he said, but I'm going to tell you what he said. He was torn up. He wanted to talk to me after service. He said, I have this problem with this sin. This one sin. And it's all sin is bad. We're not promoting sin or licentiousness or anything. But I looked at him and I said, is that all your problem? He said, yeah. I said, you've got a bigger problem than you think. You've got a bigger problem than you think. Because if that's your only sin, well, you just about arrived. You just about arrived. You don't know what sin is. You don't know what sin is. I see you keep coming to hear. It's not just one sin. It's who I am. Who I am. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What are the sure marks of one who has hope is he's calling. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what the Lord said to Ananias when he told him to go talk to Saul of Tarsus? He knew Saul of Tarsus was that one that was wrecking havoc on the church. He thought, I heard about this man. And he said, Saul, he prayeth. That's all these religious Pharisees did all the time. They prayed at the corners. They did all this thing. But that was the first time he's praying. Calling on the name of the Lord. calling them. So those people who have true hope, a lasting hope, blessed hope, are those who are true sinners, those who call on the name of the Lord, those who cry unto the Lord. The Lord hears that cry. It's like mothers, you know, when children are playing. They could get real rowdy. But whenever there's a cry for help, the mother knows exactly when that is. It says, O Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to my supplication. There's a third thing I see here about those who truly have hope. Those who truly have hope are those who own God's sovereign right to do with them as he pleases. Hear the voice of my supplication. It's not, well, I think I'm going to let you save me. It's not, I think I'm going to let you save me. It's my supplication. I'm coming as a beggar. Those are the ones who have hope. As long as a man is coming, going to save face, you know, he's going to come and make some grand entrance or something. Everybody that's going to come and have hope are coming like that one man that came to the Lord and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me. I'm in your hands. Hear the voice of my supplication. It's a beggar. We come as beggars. The Lord Jesus Christ saves his people in sovereign mercy. It's mercy. It's not because a man deserves it. We come before the throne of mercy. Mercy. And mercy is for the guilty. David, judging himself in his personal judgment, he does not make excuses. He does not talk about his religious, he's not talking like a bunch of religious people. He said, Lord, be attentive to my supplication. He said, Lord, if thou should mark iniquities, who shall stand? He admits he's a great sinner. Lord, if you call me before your throne to answer, give account for all my thoughts and all my deeds, just one, that's enough. If he calls you before his throne and calls you to give an account for your best deed, if he calls me to give account for my best prayer, it's enough to send me to hell. I said enough. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. Well, no man is going to seek mercy until he confesses his guilt. No man is going to cry for mercy until he's miserable. Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who shall stand? I cannot stand. If you call me before your throne to give an account, there's no hope. Where's he looking? Where's he looking? Where a man that has hope, a man that has true hope, where does he want God to be looking? Notice it says, verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee. Here's the next thing. A person who has true hope is the one who believes God concerning his word. Believe God's word concerning the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross to put away the sins of his people. Look at it again. He says, but there is forgiveness with thee. He's not just guessing at that. That's what God says. That's what God says in his word. There is forgiveness of sins by the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. The man who has hope believes God's word. There is forgiveness of all sins in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the person who has hope, that comes to God as a sinner, looking and saying, Lord, look to your Son. There is forgiveness of sin. You said it. The Lord has said it in His Word. There is forgiveness with thee. It's not there may be forgiveness with thee. No, it's there is forgiveness with thee. See how a man that has hope is looking in faith, believing God's Word? He says, all that the Father giveth me will come to me, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Some people hesitate because they think, well, I'm such a sinner. That never kept anyone from coming to Christ. Someone said that, I think it's to Spurgeon. He said, oh, I'm such a sinner. He said, it's not your sin that keeps you. It's your supposed righteousness that keeps you from coming to Christ. It's not your sin. He came to save sinners. A person that believes God, believes His Word, comes to the Lord. There's redemption through His blood. In Ephesians chapter 1 says, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have forgiveness of sin. The Scriptures tell us this, that He was made sin for us. God did this. God did this. God took the sins of His people and laid them on His Son. How can I know I'm His people? Do you believe God? Do you believe God? There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And then in 1 John 1:7 it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. There is forgiveness of sins. All sins. That person has good hope, who comes to God by Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. A just brief note there, it says that thou mayest be feared is worshipped, feared, reverenced, honored. God's grace, the message of God's grace, is not a message of licentiousness. It's not a message that promotes licentiousness. On the contrary. On the contrary. But anyway, let's look in the next thing. There is forgiveness with sin, of sin. There's forgiveness of sin. Number fifth, the fifth thing I want us to see. Who are those who have hope? Those who believe God's word concerning the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know I'm not going to be able to say everything there is to say on that. But a person who believes God, who Jesus Christ is, He's the Word of God coming to this world, made flesh, established righteousness here in the world as a man, obeyed God's holy law, and then went to the cross and paid, died in the place of His people, put away the sins of His people. That person that believes has hope, a sure hope, a lively hope. He didn't stay in the grave. He's risen. And who are those who have hope? Are those who wait for the Lord, who wait. It says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. In His word do I hope. I wait. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. The Scriptures show us, tell us that we have been saved from eternity. We were saved when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and put away the sins of His people. We were saved when the Holy Spirit revealed Christ in us. But we're still being saved. We're being saved today from the power of sin. If the Lord didn't keep you, you would go away. We're kept by the power of God through faith. the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ to His Word and keeping you in faith. The faith that saves us is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wait for the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end and everything in between. Our hope, like I said, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in you is the hope of glory. And those, note verse 6, it says, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Who are those that hope? Are those that continue to believe, to continue to wait. Continue to wait on the Lord. My hope, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. One day, when you open your eyes, you who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and who are trusting in Him, one day when you open your eyes and you see Him face to face, then you'll know you're plumb saved. That's when you'll know you're saved. That's there have been many people who say they believe and by fall away. But notice in Hebrews it said these all died in faith. That's the work of God. He keeps us until He comes and gets us. I wait more than they that watch for the morning. Watch for the morning when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. For I wait. I keep waiting. I keep waiting. He's coming one day. Those have good hope. Those people that make a profession of faith and then they can't ever remember that He's not real. But those who have true hope are those who are waiting. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming again. More than they that watch for the morning, that continue to believe the Lord until He comes for them. Who are those that hope? Note verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord. All God's people have this same hope. Hope in the Lord. Those who are the ones who have a hope in this world, though they hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. Mercy. You know, it's not like we're just inventing this. We can't say anything of God that He hasn't first said of Himself. That would be idolatry. That would be will worship, to say something of God God hasn't said of Himself first. But it says here, let Israel, let God's chosen people hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. God has said this about Himself. God has said this about Himself. He says, I will be merciful. I will show mercy. He must show mercy. If he is determined to show mercy, He must show mercy. You know, He passed by the angels, and they're left in chains of darkness to the day of judgment. But He is determined to show mercy to His people. And so He's going to show mercy. Mercy is for the guilty. The reason for our hope in the Lord is He will show mercy. Another reason is, when God shows His mercy, it says He's as chief as glory. It says He's as chief as glory. You know, Moses asked the Lord, show me Your glory. Show me Your glory. And you know what the Lord did? He said, I'm going to put you in this cleft and I'm going to pass by and I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. And I'm going to go over there because I can't say it in Spanish, in English. In Exodus chapter 34. And this is the glory, the chief glory of God. How can God, who is holy, 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 save a sinner and still be God? How can He show mercy and still be holy and righteous and just? That's His chiefest glory, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, He's both just and the justifier. In Exodus chapter 34, Moses had seen all the works of the Lord, and Moses said, show me Your glory. And the Lord said, I'm going to pass by, and I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. Verse 6 of chapter 34 says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord as Jehovah, Jehovah God, merciful. Jehovah God, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation. How can he say, I will by no means clear the guilty, and at the same time say, I'll be merciful? Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, there's hope. It's his chief glory. So we have these things encourage us as his chiefest glory. And here's another thing I want us to say, a reason for hope. He has the power. He's able to save. We don't pray to a God that's not able. Lord, he's able. He's able. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him, it says in Hebrews chapter 7. I like that word, uttermost. The uttermost. That means that he's going to save the chief of sinners. Find the chief of sinners. Paul said it was him. Well, you can disagree with that, can't you? You see, no one knows a sinner like himself if the Holy Spirit shows him. Yeah, I'm convinced we don't even know it then. I think we would go mad if we really knew the evilness of our heart. But nevertheless, we say, oh God, I'm the greatest sinner. Find the greatest sinner. He's going to have mercy. Paul said it. He's already saved the chief. That word uttermost means continually. It also means the furthest one. The furthest one. He's able. You know, when you see people that are hard at heart, and you say, I don't think that person can be saved. Well, you're right, you can't, but God can. Isn't that great? You know, you think a person is so far gone. I don't know if God can save him. That's wrong. That's wrong. He has power to save to the uttermost. He could produce a broken heart. I can't give myself a new heart, but he can. I can't save a sinner, but he can. I can't put away guilt, but he can. He has the power. He has the right. And the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. It says he shall redeem Israel from all his sins. I love that shall. It doesn't say he's going to try. He shall. That's God's shall. That's God's will. That's God's purpose. Can anybody stay God's hand and say, what are you doing? No, not our God. Our God does whatsoever he wills. He says, he shall save his people. He shall redeem. There's plenteous redemption. Plenteous redemption. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's who has hope. That's who has hope in this world. A sinner. A sinner who calls on the name of the Lord in faith. A sinner who continues, who takes his place before God. Owns God's right to do with me what you will. Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. Come to him as a beggar. Believing his word concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness. And waiting for the Lord to do his will. That's a person that has hope. May the Lord bless his word. Thank you for having me here this night. It's been a real joy.